Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. What a run for the Sacramento Kings. After the team got off to a slow start to the season, many were questioning if the team was going to miss the playoffs for yet another season. But then the team roared into the postseason, securing the third seed. Then came a first-round heavyweight fight against our Northern California neighbors and defending champs, the Golden State Warriors. And wow, what a playoff series it really was. A 7-game battle until the very end. And the end came in dramatic form with a 50-point performance by the one and only Steph Curry. For Kings fans, certainly disappointing to close out the playoffs in this way, but really in totality, it was an amazing, long overdue season. Joining us to put a bow on this year is Kings TV color analyst Katie Christensen. Hey, Katie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Gosh, so much emotion over the last couple of weeks, you know? I mean, safe to say we wanted to have this conversation under different circumstances, but nonetheless, what an exciting and suspenseful couple of weeks. You know, last time you joined us, you know, you mentioned that you've been with the Kings since the playoff drought began, so this was your first postseason for you, like many of us. How fun was this season for you?
Well, oh my gosh, I'm still going to have to process it, really, with it just ending yesterday. But for the drought to end was amazing. But, you know, kind of looking back at the type of year that it was and kind of what came out of it is really what makes it special. You know, Mike Brown, I think, did a really tremendous job with this team and where he got them. It surpassed pretty much everyone's expectations going into the season. You know, you go into the playoffs as the 3 seed in the Western Conference, you know, you won more games than you've won in nearly 2 decades. You've got 2 All-Stars. You've got 2 players that will likely be all NBA players. You have a very young team that now gained a ton of very useful playoff experience against a team that over the last 10 or so years have built a dynasty, and you took them down to Game 7, and it wasn't the performance I think anyone wanted, obviously, but that is something that is going to carry them a lot farther in years to come. And I feel really confident saying that, you know, A, I'm proud of this team and what they did, and B, this is just the beginning.
Yeah. When it comes to the series against the Warriors 2 weeks ago or so, did you think this series would go to 7 games?
You know, I had a feeling. I thought that the Kings were very, very capable. I thought it was a good matchup for them. But you're also going up against the defending champs, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy. And the way that the Kings came out in the first 2 games at Golden One Center, they were amazing. And I think it put a lot of people's doubts about maybe the season being a fluke to rest. And then, you know, obviously you go to Golden State, you have to play on their home floor, and you knew that they were going to battle. Game 6 was fantastic. What they did there, I think, is something that we should all kind of keep in mind, kind of moving forward, because to me, it was hands down the best performance the Kings had this season. And it was when their backs were up against the wall, and it was a win or go home situation. And they gave themselves an opportunity to bring it home for Game 7 and advance. So, all in all, I mean, like I said, I'm still processing this season, but I'm incredibly proud of what this team did, and like immensely proud of the city, the fans, and how they rallied and got behind them. And I think that it was so special to watch it from that perspective, because I've seen these Kings fans for so long, like you said, since the drought began. I got here in the 2006 season. And so to kind of watch them have that ability to have the joy and share in it and celebrate it was really amazing.
How was it being surrounded by fans that are just relishing in a long overdue postseason?
You know, I expected it. I was not surprised. And when I say it was the loudest arena in the NBA, that the playoffs absolutely proved it. That environment is like nothing I've ever seen. And I traveled to every NBA arena. And I think part of it too is because, you know, this city has always embraced this team because it's kind of the only show in town. You've got the Republic now, but when it comes to, you know, major professional sports franchises, you know, they celebrate this team, and they've always gotten behind it, and it's something that they hold really close to their hearts. So I was not surprised to see the reaction and how they rallied.
And I think you have a lot of, you know, new fans as well, people who maybe weren't even that into basketball, who were like watching every single game with the same suspense and investment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a lot of people have their eyes on it now, and not even just in Sacramento. I mean, when you look at the fact that the Kings only had two nationally televised basketball games all season long, the playoffs is one thing that really put them on a different map in terms of, you know, the rest of the country and from an international perspective as too. I mean, the NBA is wildly popular all over the world. And just, you know, social media and the people that have watched throughout the season that are not local, that are not Kings fans, but have started watching these games and now, you know, have them on the radar is really amazing. And I would not be surprised if our national TV schedule next year is pretty beefed up.
You know, you bring up such a good point, because I knew someone who went to one of the games and there was like a family that traveled from Australia to specifically watch the playoffs. They were Sacramento Kings fans.
Yeah, I mean, Australia, England, Taiwan, I mean, everywhere. And in the number of people that even just traveled, you know, from within the United States to come and to be at the games it's kind of amazing to me, because, you know, I've played sports my whole life. I've covered it. And it offers a different perspective, right? Like to see how people really kind of can identify and get behind a team. And, you know, they experience all the highs and lows with you. You know, it's like what's in the locker room and what you feel individually as a player or a coach is one thing. But wow, I mean, fans really feel the pain as well. And I know today is a painful day for a lot of people. And I put out on social media, like, you know, feel the pain. And when it goes away, just remember, like, this team surpassed so many expectations. And this loss, as much as it hurts right now, is really offering them something that they can build on. And the experience alone, going up against someone like the Warriors and Steph Curry and watching what he did in game 7. And then to remember, oh, Steph's 35, De'Aaron Fox is 25. Like that just shows you potential and what the window is. And if you want to beat the best, you have to go up against them and you have to experience the failures, right? Because you learn more from your failures as an athlete than you do from your victories.
When it comes to those hard learning lessons that they're going to be unpacking, I mean, how much do you think the coaches are going to look at yesterday's game and nitpick what went wrong and build on what went right? Or do they just kind of move on and look ahead to the offseason?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? You've got to look at what you did. And there was a lot of changes throughout the course of this series, because in a 7-game series, playing the same team, especially coaching staffs that are so familiar with one another and with the players. Mike Brown's staff is very familiar with Steph Curry and Draymond and the rest of the core of that group. You're going to look at the things that you wish you could have done better, but it's always like a Monday morning quarterback thing. Like if you had made a different substitution or pulled a different trigger, would it have made a difference? You don't really know. So I think you look at it maybe a little bit, and then the focus immediately turns to next season. And that's the same for the players, because a lot of these players, there were things exposed during the course of this series and this season that they need to work on. And these guys are professionals, and they will take a little time off and they will get right back to work. But, you know, then you got to look at the perspective of the front office. There's a lot of decisions to be made. There's a lot of free agents, Trey Lyles, Terrence Davis, Harrison Barnes being a really big one. Like now you have to go into the summer and free agency and figure out what changes are going to be made. Now, you know, pieces that maybe you need, you know, in the future for playoff runs like we just finished. So it's everyone is thinking about what they could have done different. But I think you immediately kind of you sit on it for a moment and then you move on to how you can change it and what improvements you make.
Yeah. The last time we talked, it was leading into this series. And since then, Coach Mike Brown unanimously won Coach of the Year. Just talk about his impact on the team and how he's found a home here in Sacramento.
First of all, yeah, he won Coach of the Year, but he was also the very first ever in the history of the NBA unanimous Coach of the Year winner. I mean, that speaks volumes to the respect and kind of the challenge that he had coming in this season. So many coaches have come through the doors and tried to take over and tried to turn things around. And Mike Brown was the one that was able to do it. And I think one of the most key things that he did, it wasn't about X's and O's. It wasn't about, you know, decisions on rotations or whatever. It really was about getting this team as a whole to invest in their group as a unit and realize that he had this phrase like all in, right? Everyone had to be all in. And that meant accepting your role as it was, even if it wasn't something that you maybe hoped for or wanted. And you had to accept that. And then you had to believe that as a group, you all had the ability to go further than anybody else. Forget the postseason predictions. I want to say the postseason prediction was like 34 or 35 wins for this team. They almost got to 50. And so a lot of his success really had to come more from the mental side of what a 16 season playoff drought brings with it, which is doubt. And, you know, you get into a rut, you get used to losing, and you kind of lose that hunger and that fight. And he, I think more than anything, that is what he did for this team, was give them a belief and get them to really invest and be all in that belief.
Do you have a top moment from the playoff series?
Game six, without a doubt. But you know, it's so hard because game two was so incredible as well. But game six, I think for me, because it showed me a lot about this team, it's really hard to go into Chase Center. I think it was one of the most difficult home court environments this season, in the sense that the Warriors, I don't even think they lost 10 games at home this season. And for them to go in there in that environment with that amount of pressure on them and to perform the way that they did and really put not only the Warriors, but the league on notice that this team has so much potential and they're capable of so much. And it's time for everybody, the league, the media, the national media, to stop disregarding Sacramento and what they have going on and what they're capable of in the future.
Yeah, because they didn't just win on the Warriors' home turf. They won by a good margin, like almost 20 points.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, I can't even put into words how difficult that is to do in a closeout game.
Yeah.
So again, like you, as a team, as players, you have to look back at the things that you did well. You can't look at just the things that went wrong, because you've got to be willing to look at the things that are hard to look at and then look at the things that went well. And that's what you strive to do, is to do that on a more consistent basis.
How do you think the team is doing this morning? I mean, you have a lot of personal lived experience with things like this.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's different and handles it individually. I can't say how each member of the team and the coaching staff is doing. I can say what I hope they're doing. I hope that they're allowing it to hurt for a little bit, you know, and hopefully maybe that's even gone to a certain extent in terms of being harsh on yourself. But at the same time, you want that hurt to carry into next season and to carry through the off season, because those are the things that motivate you as players, as coaches, to get better, to improve, to analyze, to critique yourself. But I hope at the end of the day, I hope they're incredibly proud of each other and themselves and what they were able to do, because it is not an easy thing, especially in the Western Conference, to get to where they were. It is incredibly difficult to maintain, to stay healthy, to go over an 82 games regular season and go into the postseason and perform the way that they did. So I want it to hurt. I think everyone needs to allow that to happen. And to a certain degree, yes, you let it carry to the next season, because that's what you build on. But they should be so immensely proud of what they were able to accomplish and the drought that they ended.
Yeah, I mean, understandably a lot of disappointment, but also a tremendous amount of gratitude for the team as well, for giving us something that we have wanted for so long. Katie, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure. You guys have a good day.
You are just along with them, too. So hopefully you get a much deserved break as well. Katie Christensen is the TV color analyst for the Sacramento Kings. And that is Insight for today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, shoot us an email, insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.